Cage Dramas presents The Return of the Prodigal. This week's front page drama, The Return of the Prodigal, is one of a series of many stories that comprise a very interesting article to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Under the title, Have You Heard These Strange Tales? Dr. Donald A. Laird, Doctor of Psychology and Science, former director of Colgate University Psychological Laboratory, has gathered together a number of classic examples of tragic, fantastic stories which periodically sweep the country. And though told and retold many times before, the majority of people still believe them. Not only does Dr. Laird prove that these tall tales are purely the workings of over-imaginative people, but he explains the reason why people still believe them to be true. Perhaps you are one of the millions of honest people who have heard some of these fantastic tales and believe them to be true. Why not order a copy of next Sunday's American Weekly from your local news dealer or carrier boy and read this very interesting collection of stories and Dr. Laird's accompanying expose? Ask for and insist upon the Sunday newspaper that brings you the American Weekly. Perhaps the most popular and persistent of all the fantastic stories that comprise Dr. Laird's collection is the purely fictional tale of Karl Mauser, the poor Austrian boy who left home and made a small fortune and returned home to surprise his hardworking mother. But have you heard this one? The first scene is the travel bureau of a small West Side Chicago bank.
Well, here's everything in perfect order, Mr. Mauser. You have railroad and steamship tickets, your passport travel visa, and the balance of your account in cash, $1,500.
That is good. And thank you very much, Mr. Walters.
You're welcome, Mr. Mauser. You've been a very good depositor, and we're glad to have been of service. There's only one thing I wish you'd let us do for you. Change that cash into a traveler's check. It would be ever so much safer.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Walters. I must have the cash. Don't worry, though. I'll take good care of it. But I must have the cash. It's, a surprise for my mother in the old country. It's going to be a good joke, too. Can I tell you about it?
Why, yes, I'd like to hear it, Mr. Mauser.
Well, you see, before coming to this country, I came from a little town far up in the mountains near Innsbruck in Austria. We were very, very poor. My father had a little inn. Few travelers could stay overnight there, you see. And when my father died, we were even poorer, so I decided to try my luck here in America.
I see. And now that you saved a modest little fortune, you're going home to see your family.
Yeah. Yeah, only better.
Yes, yes.
I've only written them once in a while and sent them just a little bit of money to help them. And all the time, I'm planning the big surprise.
Well, what's the big surprise?
Well, first, they don't know I'm coming. And even when I get there, they won't know me. When I first came over, I was just a ragged bag of bones, skinny and young and... But now I look fat and good clothes and nice mustache. At night, when I come, I will give them another name. Ask for a room and stay all night. Make them think I'm a rich traveler. And then next morning, I tell them who I am, take out all the money and pour it in my mother's apron. I can see her now. She will cry and then laugh and then cry again. And then we'll all have a big celebration.
Oh, I say, that's fine, Mr. Mauser. Your mother will certainly be surprised and very happy.
Yeah, yeah. And my sister also. I will buy them new dresses, shoes, and hats to walk through the village. Ah, they will all be so proud of me. It's a good thing, my surprise, yeah?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Mauser. I'd like to be there and see it all.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, Mr. Wallace, and many thanks. I must go now.
Goodbye, Mr. Mauser, and good luck.
So, Karl Mauser left Chicago, sailed from New York, crossed the ocean, traveled by train to Innsbruck, and climbed up the mountain pass he knew so well. At every step, he grew more excited and happy over his carefully planned surprise. Finally, as darkness set in, he reached the little old Mauser Inn, which he knew probably would not even be expecting a single guest all winter. His sister opened the door and admitted him. She did not even recognize him.
A room for the night? Yeah. Indeed, there is a room on here.
Good. Can I see it?
Yeah, yeah. Who is the guest, sir? Who is there? A traveler, mother. We want a room for the night.
Yeah, on the big supper.
On the big supper. Yes, good. I'm coming. My mother will be here in just a moment. Perhaps you have some luggage to bring in, ma'am.
No, Fräulein. My luggage is all in this suit.
Good evening, Mynheer.
Good evening.
My daughter says you want a room for the night and some supper.
Yeah, I was on my way to Innsbruck and darkness overtook me, so I decided to spend the night here.
That's good. If you will come with me, I will show you the room. Elsa, prepare the gentleman some supper. This way, if you please.
Thank you.
This is the room, Mynheer. It is a little cold, but I would light a fire. Oh,
thank you. I have no luggage here, and as I might want to leave very early, I'll tell you in advance.
Yeah.
How much will it be for the room and the supper? And I will need breakfast also.
Oh!
Is something wrong?
Oh, no, Mynheer. It's just so much money.
Oh.
I have never seen so much.
Yeah.
It is not our money, is it?
No, American money. I'm an American. Just here on a visit. My name is Jones.
Yes, so I have a son in America, too. Perhaps you know him. He has a fine voice. His name is Carl. Carl Meiser. And he lives in Chicago, a big city.
Yeah? I'm from Chicago also.
Oh.
Although I don't think I know anyone by that name.
For a long time, I do not hear from him. I think perhaps he is ill.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Maybe he'll surprise you soon.
No. He is like ourselves. Poor, hard working, and never with enough money to do anything but keep body and soul together.
Yes. Now, before we forget it, sir, how much do I owe you, please?
25 marks, Mynheer.
25, uh-huh. 25. Very good to you, huh?
Yes. Thank you. I'll call you when your supper is ready.
25 marks for my old room. Supper and breakfast. She's feeding me. Ah, but the lab will be on my side when she found out she was feeding her own son.
After a frugal supper and a little chat in front of the fire, where once again Karl Mauser impressed his poor old mother and sister with his wealth, Karl went back to the room, the very room that had been his in boyhood. Never once did the two women even suspect the wealthy man was their own flesh and blood. Then Carl went to bed, quietly chuckling to himself over his success and anticipating the surprise he would spring on them in the morning. But long after the guest had put out his light and gone to sleep, old Frau Mauser sat with such an expression that it frightened her daughter.
Mother, what's the matter? What are you staring like that? Mother, I know what you're thinking. Please, Mother, forget. Get that old wickedness out of your mind. And Mother of our Carl.
Quiet, Elsa. I am thinking of Carl. Oh. Of all of us. What does the future hold for us? I think hard work, drudgery, miserable poverty, hunger, and soon the loss of this place, the only home we have ever known.
No. Something just torn up. Perhaps you're going to hear from Carl. He's going to send for us.
That is all wishful thinking. America is no different from our own country. For the poor, wretched poverty, low starvation, misery, and the rich, like him up there, whatever.
No, that's wrong. No, please, Mother. Come to bed.
Please.
Dream.
Sleep. Dream. That is no escape. How can one sleep and dream when cold and hunger gnaw at you? Even in sleep. No. I am determined to try other means of escape.
Mother, please, get out of this evil. I must have.
No. This is the chance of a lifetime.
No.
It will save us from losing the inn. Or if you like, you can join Carl in America. Why should that man upstairs have all that money and we have nothing? No, I am determined to do it.
Oh, no, Mother, you cannot do this horrible thing. I won't let you. I scream. I'm waiting the traveler. I'm telling you.
If you do, I'll destroy all of us. You too. You feel this? If you alarm him, I'll
sleep. Please don't do it. The money will do us no good. This lot money. A trace of money for us.
Stop your foolish whining. This is the only way I am determined. And remember, If you utter one word of warning, I'll...
It is finished. It was all over quickly. No struggles. No pain. What is the matter? Thousands and thousands of marks. Now, come with me. I need your help.
No, I don't mind. I won't touch you in the house.
You'll do as I tell you. There's nothing to fear in the house. I've taken care of everything. You helped me carry the body down to the ravine. No one will suspect anything. It will look as if we were attacked by robbers there. I tell you, everything is all right.
Why? Oh, why did you do this? We can never be safe from our chance. Our hands are stained with blood forever. We are cursed.
Next morning came officers of the law, but Frau Mauser was sure her story would prevent suspicion. But much to her surprise, the officers were more sad and sympathetic than suspicious.
Frau Mauser, we are sorry to have to intrude like this.
Yes, Frau Mauser. You can do a job you don't enjoy doing.
Frau Mauser, you have a son, Karl, who went to America, did you not?
Yeah. A fine boy, mein Karl. I've not heard from him for a long time. But I soon think we will go to him.
I'm afraid that will be possible somehow. You must try to bear up on the sad news you have for me.
Will you look at his passport with his picture on it? He was robbed, murdered last night.
No. No. Let me see that.
Cheerfully, the bereaved daughter sobbed out the rest of the story to the officers, and the story ends. But as we told you and wish to emphatically repeat, such a tragedy never happened. What is more, the story until now has never even been published as fiction. With pages and pages of atmosphere and story construction, Edgar Allan Poe may have equaled in fiction this short and simple tragedy. But it is doubtful if he or anyone else has beaten it much. But as we said, it never happened. It has been told before, with the locale in almost every land. But like the other stories in Dr. Laird's very interesting article, it bobs up every few years, and people believe in it as truth. Don't fail to enlighten yourself on this and the many other classic examples of the weird things people believe true and why they believe them, as told in the very interesting feature article, Have You Heard These Strange Tales?, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. The magazine which is read by more people than any other publication in the world. Insist upon the Sunday newspaper that brings you the American Weekly.